sometimes, you know, the issues that we see are proliferation of signs, you know, or a really cluttered street environment. And so communities have developed effective tools to control signs. You know, sign ordinances have come a long way, and they've changed quite a bit just in the past couple of years. You've also developed effective tools to control sidewalk layouts and effective street design, and thinking about how sidewalks interrelate with the streets. Sometimes the tools to regulate community character have involved the natural environment, you know, protecting trees, protecting significant vegetation to ensure, recognizing that those are really kind of playing an important part of community character. So these issues have been around for a while. And my interest in this topic actually goes back quite a while. I worked with Chris Dirksen, my colleague and friend, on a book for the American Planning Association about 20 years ago now called Aesthetics, Community Character, and the Law. And we looked at a variety of these topics, and we summarized kind of what communities are doing in all these fields, you know, sign control and design review, things like that. But importantly, we laid the foundation for all this by looking, first of all, at the legal embrace of tools to affect community character. These are not new concerns. They've been around for a while. I'm not going to bore you after lunch with the whole legal history of aesthetic land use controls, but there's some important quotes that I think are kind of interesting to just kind of refresh our memory about. And one of them is from the Bergman v. Parker case back in 1954. You've probably heard of it as a takings case, one of the first important takings cases, but the subject matter actually involved urban redevelopment in the Washington, D.C. area. And there's an interesting quote from the final decision, which upheld the program at issue, where they talked about the concept of the public welfare, and the public welfare being broad and inclusive. The values it represents are spiritual as well as physical, aesthetic as well as monetary. Important within the power of the community to determine that the community be beautiful as well as healthy, spacious as well as clean, well-balanced as carefully controlled. So very early on, back in the 50s, we've got good language from the courts kind of recognizing that aesthetic purpose behind a land use control. That trend continued. I mean, we move into another important takings case. This one is a regulatory takings case that you've all heard of, Penn Central, the Penn Central case versus New York City back in 1978. This is actually a Marcel Breuer design that was going to be plopped on the top of Grand Central Station. It's a great old photo that I found. And it was going to be prohibited by the New York City Landmarks Law. The Landmarks Law was upheld from a challenge in this case. And this was one of the first times that aesthetic regulation really kind of stood on its own without being tied to any other goals. But the aesthetic purposes of the Landmarks Law were explicitly recognized in this great language from a unanimous decision. We emphasize what is not in dispute. The court has recognized in a number of settings that states and cities may enact land use controls to enhance the quality of life by preserving the character and the desirable aesthetic features of a city. So, as I said, I'm not going to bore you with the whole history here. There's a lot of great case law kind of going through the years, kind of moving from that very solid foundation into some interesting cases about thinking about the nuances of clear standards to ensure that people's due process rights are not being violated. But the point is that there's a very firm kind of foundation of judicial acceptance of aesthetic-based regulation. And then we come to Texas. and this presents an interesting twist on the story. And as you all know, having worked in Texas for many years, many of you, the legislature has increasingly been interested in not so much expanding local land use controls, but also kind of restricting them and thinking about ways in which maybe some communities might have gone too far, perhaps in regulating aesthetics and community character, perhaps in other areas. This is just an example of a recent session and some of the planning related legislation that was passed. This was a 2017 session, 85th session. And you can see that we've just got a selection here of topics that dealt with community character issues where the legislature weighed in, from cell towers to historic zoning to trees, three times. These passed in some cases, like with the cell towers. They did not pass, like in the proposed restrictions on historic zoning and on some of the tree protection regulations. It's important when you look at what the legislature is thinking about to look at the stuff that didn't pass just as much as the things that do pass, because if they don't pass, they might come back in the next session in very much the same form. But you can see just from kind of looking at some of these items on the list that there has been a lot of interest in at the legislative level in removing important tools that local governments have to protect community character. Look at House Bill 70 down there for trees, cancel and prevent municipal tree protection ordinances. Fortunately, that did not pass, but it received a lot of attention. So I'm not going to cover all those in detail, but the one I do want to cover in some detail is the one you're all familiar with, 2439. Oh, and there's my first typo. Apologize for that. It's 2439, the bill that affected building materials. And this is the one that passed, and it was effective 1st of September. And I'm sure you've all seen this. These are kind of the key prohibitions. Government entity may not adopt or enforce a regulation that prohibits or limits directly or indirectly the use or installation of a building product or material in construction or alteration on a residential or commercial building that's allowed in a national model code published within the last three code cycles. So if it's been in that national model code, you can't be stricter at the local level than what was in that national code. Similarly, cities cannot establish a standard for a building product, material, or aesthetic method on a building in construction or alteration if more stringent than a standard in a national model code published within the last 3 years. So those are pretty big. We have not seen these around the country. And just to be real clear up front, I'm not licensed as an attorney in Texas. I'm licensed in Colorado. So everything I say, you know, that's my big disclaimer right up front. Many of you have probably already had very thoughtful conversations with your city attorneys about 2439 and its implications, and you've gotten deeper into it than me. But I've worked on a lot of code updates in Texas, and I've worked on a lot of them just over the past year and been in conversations with communities that are thinking about how to respond to that. And so my perspective on this here is to give you a few observations about the legislation, but then primarily focus on what we still can do, what's left.